Wow, it almost looks like a full house. Isn't it great?
Yes.
See people in church.
Yes.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How many of you were here last year when I said Happy New Year? All right, then you know the question. How many of you read your Bibles every day in 2020? About three of you. Well, well, that's not only a problem, but where did my page one go? Oh, that turned upside down. All right, let's start again. Happy New Year. Does anyone need a Bible? Ushers are ready to bring you a Bible. We're going to go through some passages of Scripture. Maybe you want a Bible. So they're coming through. Raise your hand if you want a copy of God's Word for the message this morning. And you'll be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. We're going to go through chapter 4, verse 4. So find your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 16, and it will also be on the screen. There it is. And I know you want to stand in honor of God's word as we begin 2021. So as you find it, please stand as we read this passage out of 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3:16, going through verse chapter 4, verse 4. And the word of God says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." You can be seated. Thank you for standing. So I want to take this passage today and cover four points. The passage is called, or the message is called, Itching Ears. And the four points will be turn away, turn back, turn in, and turn now. So first, turn away. What's the problem? People have itching ears, right? This passage describes our day-to-day. That people have itching ears. We don't want to be told what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. How many of you have said, "Don't tell me what to do"? Yeah, there's more of you than that. Our attention span is short. We don't want to endure things anymore. We glance at text messages, emails, maybe even our Bibles. We don't, or we won't, endure sound teaching because it takes time and it takes our attention, and we have little of each. Our focus seems to be on self. How many of you do selfies? Nobody even knew what a selfie was a few years ago. Now that's what we do. We send our pictures of ourselves to everybody else. We're focused on self. Me, myself, and I. And we're turning away from the truth. We even hear people say, "That's not true." And we don't even register that anymore. We just go on as if it is, because it doesn't fit our narrative. So where are we at with truth? We probably have a vacuum of truth. I know you can find truth when you turn the TV on, right? And then if you flip the channel, that's somebody else's truth. So where are we going to find truth? And Christians, as we begin 2021, I think we have to be truth to people, don't we? We got to be different. We have to have something to offer. So I hope we can offer truth. Where are we going to find truth? CNN? Fox News? Siri? Google? Alexi, or right here. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. We need truth. We hope we reflect the truth this year, and we'll find it in God's word. So people are turning away from truth, and they're being led astray. I get to travel a lot, not as much this past year as normally. I was on an airplane to Portland, Oregon, not so long ago. I was in the aisle seat. This young, tall guy comes down, sits in the, I was in the window seat. He sits in the aisle seat. And we got a conversation going, and he played basketball for Oregon State University. And so we got the conversation going, and we begin to talk about spiritual things. And he says, yeah, I grew up in a Christian family, but I wandered off the reservation. How many of you heard that about young people? So many that grew up in the church, grew up like this, and wander off. So now he said, well, I just believe that all religions point the same direction and we all end up in the same place. We're being led astray. Another flight, going the other direction, to Baltimore, Maryland. I sat in an aisle seat. A young lady named Donna comes and sits in the seat next to me in the middle, and I take my book out to read it, and the book's called Leading with Love. And she sees the title and she says, oh, wow, love. I believe God is love. I said, well, this would be a good conversation. And then Donna, in her 30s, begins to share and say, well, I grew up Catholic, mixed that with Islam, Judaism, various other spiritual offshoots in her upbringing. So I shared a New Testament with her like I did the guy from the basketball team. And I opened it up to John 14:6. You know the verse. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. She read it. She smiled. She closed the book. I asked her what she thought. She said politely, I don't believe that I need to go through anyone to get to God. Then I said, well, then you really don't believe that this is the Word of God. She said, well, I pick and choose what I believe out of the religious books that I read. People are being led astray into fables and myths. And as people turn away from truth, many are being led astray. And where are people turning? In just a single day on the internet, 2 million blog posts are written. 860,000 hours of YouTube videos are uploaded. And 5 billion pieces of content are shared on Facebook. As Christians in a post-Christian world, can I encourage you to go beyond social media sound bites? Can I encourage you to endure sound teaching in 2021? Can I interest you in reading a good book? How about the good book? In an article called Dumb and Dumber, How Biblical Literacy is Killing Our Nation by Ed Stetzler, Executive Director of Lifeway Research, published in Charisma Magazine, the article said, we have a biblical literacy deficit in part because we have a spiritual maturity deficit. Plenty of research shows the correlation between spiritual maturity and reading the Bible. If you want spiritually mature Christians, get them reading the Bible. That's a statistical fact. But more importantly, it's a biblical truth. And I think we'd all agree with that. We believe that. There is a direct correlation between our spiritual maturity and how much time we spend in God's Word. So point number one is turn away from the teachers who suit your own passion. Turn off the myths of the world. Turn away from distractions offered by the world and filter your mind in 2021 through the Word of God. Point number two, turn back. Rather than having itching ears that suit our own passions, unplug those myths and fables and turn back to the truth of God's Word. Is the Bible truly relevant in your personal life? Was it relevant in 2020? As we suffered and we went through things we never imagined? When we stood here last year at the beginning of a new year, the decade 2020, none of us had any idea what was coming, did we? And we don't this year. Many times we think we're getting back to normal this year. What is normal? And what will it ever be again? We have no idea. But is the Bible relevant? We've talked about Pastor Dave's prayer about we're just moving from a date from December 31 to January 1. This stuff's still going on. What are we going to do? Will the Bible be relevant to your everyday life this year? So let's dig into 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4 and see the riches of spending time with God and His Word. And let's start with that first verse, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. We realize in our politically correct, increasingly secular culture, fewer and fewer people believe that that's true, that this is God-breathed, that this is actually the Word of God. I hope we believe that as we roll into a new year. As Christians, one of our core beliefs is that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Amen? But what do those terms mean? I call it the triple I doctrine. But let's begin by another verse. I think it's up there. Yep. Where did the Bible come from? But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21. Do you know in the Bible, these men who were moved by the Holy Spirit were instructed 88 times to write. The word write appears 88 times in the Scripture. Instructed by the Holy Spirit to write these things down. And then the word read appears 70 times. So, they were instructed to write it down, and they did, and we're instructed to read it, and I hope we will. Now, what's this inspired, infallible, inerrant mean? Let's look at these words. First, inspired. What does the word inspired mean? It means God breathed. We just read that. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God's Word. It's the same Word that God breathed the universe into existence. It's the same Word that created all things. It's the same Word of God, His breath, that put the Word of God together. For me, that's enough to want to read it every day of my life. I hope it is for you in 2021. It is God's Word, His very breath. What about infallible? What's the word infallible mean? It means no potential or ability to err. Totally reliable. Cannot contradict itself. Now you've heard some say there's contradictions in the Bible. Well, I got a book, figure that out, called The Big Book of Bible Difficulties by Norman Gessler and Thomas Howe. And in that book, I quote, "The Bible has withstood the criticisms of the greatest skeptics, agnostics and atheists down through the centuries, and it is able to withstand the feeble efforts of unbelieving critics today." There are 800 questions in this book, so if you think the Bible has contradictions, get this book, because all of them are answered there. But it doesn't matter, does it, that it's answered there? It matters that Hebrews 6:18 says, "It is impossible for God to lie." There can't be contradictions in the Bible. The Bible is infallible. Let's go to inerrant. Inerrant means technically correct, free from falsehood and deceit, wholly true in its doctrine, in its history, in its science, in its geography. You wonder why all those things are in the Bible, right? There are places named. There's historical events. There's things that you can find, you can prove. Archaeology digs this stuff up, and it's always verified the Scriptures. So it has to be technically correct. Think about geography. We know Israel still exists. We read about it. We see it. We know Jews. But do you know Babylonians? No, Babylon was destroyed. So is it true or isn't it? And that's how you verify the Scriptures. It is inerrant. So we have in our hands something that is inspired, God-breathed. It's infallible, no potential errors, inerrant, technically correct. Matthew 5:18 says, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." We can rely on this book in 2021. Pray that you and I can withstand the cultural pressure and remain faithful to the Word of God. It's getting harder, isn't it? Getting tougher to be a Christian and say we believe in the Word of God. Let's go on to the next verse, 3:16 and 17. The Bible is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, I've been reading my Bible since I was 15. So I think I've experienced in these 50 years all of that. I think I've been taught, I've been reproved, I've been corrected, and hopefully I've learned a little bit about righteousness. So let's look at some of these and give you some personal examples of how the Word of God has touched my heart over the years. And when I went to college up at the University of Northern Colorado, I got in a Bible study. In that Bible study, there were three Catholics and three Baptists. I was one of the Catholics. And in that Bible study, these Baptists would tell us, "Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." And us Catholics would go back to them and say, "Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God." So we could both quote scriptures on our side of any argument. But I kept watching those guys, and they kept asking, and they'd come back, and they'd share how their prayers were being answered. So I decided to try it. I decided to pray something very small and minor, because I wasn't sure if I was going to get hit with lightning, because I was going to test the Lord thy God. So I prayed something pretty minor, and it happened. And I said, "Whoa, those guys might be right." I was learning from the Word of God, God's ways of His righteousness, being taught by the Scriptures, just what this verse says, training in righteousness. Later on, still up at University of Northern Colorado, I dated a girl in high school. I thought about, is she the one? Guys, remember that? Is she the one? Ladies, remember that? Is he the one? And how are you going to know? This is the big decision, one of the biggest you're ever going to make in your life. Is she the one? So I was going to go from Greeley that day down to Colorado Springs and ask for her hand in marriage. And I wanted to know, is this the right thing to do? Now, in my daily quiet time, I didn't pick this verse or this chapter or anything. Just reading along in Ecclesiastes, you think God can answer that question in Ecclesiastes? Chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, I read, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Now, that's some people think that's about friendship. Great. That day, it was a very clear confirmation from the Word of God that I could go ask her to marry me. And that verse became our theme for our wedding. A three-ply cord is not quickly broken. And I know in the days of social distancing, you probably won't come up and look at my wedding ring that has three crosses on it for that three-ply cord. And it must have worked. Terry, there she is in the audience. You can stand up. 45 years later, we're still hanging out together. And then one more example. As we raised our family, our kids were going to Cherry Creek High School. We lived over in the tech center. And we raised a family, a Christian family, like most of you are or have. And we thought because we did that, we were going to be exempt from all the problems of the teenage years. Naive Christians, right? So one night we came home and my brother's car was in the driveway, and that's very unusual at about midnight. And so we went in and found our oldest son drunk in his room. And it was a heartbreaking experience. And it challenged my faith. I really did think if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. And I thought again, we read the scriptures every night with our kids before they went to bed. We thought for sure we were going to get through all this stuff, and that stuff was not going to happen to our family. And that night was a very difficult night for me with my faith. I thought, if it doesn't work with this, does it work with anything? I've been a Christian for a long time. But I really hoped that that would not happen. And what did I hang on to? What do you hang on to when you're in crisis, when you're challenged and your faith is teetering? God brought me back to a verse in Scripture, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I didn't see much evidence that night. I didn't have much hope that night. But I had the Word of God, and that's what I held on to that night. And yeah, we got through that, but my faith matured because the Word of God was there for my crisis, for my problem. Hopefully, that's what you did in 2020. You held on to the Word of God regardless of what you went through. And if not, hopefully you will in 2021. We have no idea what's coming. It may be the good, the bad, and the ugly. But hang on to the Word of God. I read the Bible because it's profitable for teaching, for training in righteousness, that I may be complete, equipped for life. And Romans 15:4-5 tell us this. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Those things were written so we could be taught, so we can learn. And we're going to need that as we go through this year so that we can have hope. And when we're challenged, I hope you go here. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 2. It says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So are you ready in season and out of season? Who is to preach the word? Is it only the pastoral staff here? Or is it all of us? Is that an instruction for all of us as believers? And if it is, can we do it? Can you share the word of God in 2021? Are you ready in season and out of season to preach the word? How many of you can share the story of creation in a debate or a battle of a discussion over evolution? Can we really go to our source or do we just argue? But can we go to the truth of God's word? How many of you can share a prophecy about the birth of Jesus? We just went through Christmas. Did you have a chance to do that? When somebody challenges you, can you share a prophecy about the birth of Christ? Can you point someone to the love chapter when they're in great need? What is the love chapter? Yeah, a lot of you know it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's another one, 1 John chapter 4. Can we point people to that when they need some compassion and some comfort? How many of you can share the gospel with someone and lead them to saving faith in Jesus Christ? Statistics tell us about 97% of Christians never share their faith with anyone. Are we ready in season and out of season? Do we know the Scriptures? Are we comfortable enough that when we get in those situations, we can handle it? We can preach the word in season and out of season. Hebrews 5:12-14 talks about our maturity as Christians. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Are we exercised? Where are we in our spiritual journey? How long have you been a Christian? Are you still drinking milk? Or are you eating solid food from the Word of God? Can you discern because you've exercised in the Scriptures over and over so that you're healthy and you can share? Let's go on to verses 3 and 4. Chapter 4, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Why? How can this happen? We all know people that have grown up in the church and have walked away. Why? How? Well, let me give you another illustration in our own lives. When we did get married, we were, at the time, I said I was Catholic, Terry was a Baptist. So we went to the Catholic church. They wouldn't marry us because she wasn't a Catholic. Went to the Baptist church. They wouldn't marry us because I wasn't a Baptist. So as a two young teenagers, we should have just quit on the whole thing right there. But we didn't. We kept trying to find a place. What were we going to do? My father was a Lutheran, so we checked out Lutheran and decided that was somewhere between Catholicism and Baptist, and that must work. So we got married as Lutherans in Colorado Springs. I was in school, still up in Greeley, so we went up to Greeley, and we went to a Lutheran church. And one of the messages was divorce was fine. Everything was okay. If you need to get a divorce, get one. One of the Lutheran pastors came over to our house, visited with us to welcome us to the church, and he says, God loves everybody. He would never send anybody to hell. This is how this happens. We don't know what's being taught, myths and fables, even from churches. I didn't know anything about synods in the Lutheran denomination. I didn't know there was conservative synods and liberal synods. We just ended up in a Lutheran church. Well, we never went back to that church. So those are the ways that these things happen. So point number two is turn back to the real source of truth. It's right here. Point three is turn in. How can we keep from being deceived? How can we avoid itching ears? How can we turn away from myths and fables? Turn in to the Word of God. Turn the pages of Scripture again in 2021. When facing troubles or temptations, turn to the Word of God. And Jesus is our example in Matthew chapter 4. When he's tempted in the wilderness, he's Jesus. He's the creator of all things. Everything is subject to him. He could have defeated Satan with the breath of his word, but he didn't do it. What did he do when he was tempted? He defeated Satan with the word of God. He said four times, it is written, it is written, it is written. Why? Because that's an example for us. As the temptations come, as the difficulties come, hopefully we can defeat the enemy with the word of God, just like he did by saying, it is written. Do we know the scriptures well enough to defeat the enemy by saying, it is written? In Acts chapter 17, verses 11 through 12, there's a people who did that. You know them, they're called the Bereans. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They searched the scriptures when?
Daily.
Yeah, not just on Sunday, not just a few times a week, daily, to find out what things are so. Things being taught from pulpits, things being taught on the radio by Christians. Dave did a whole series this past year on false teaching. How do we know if we're not discerning those through the scriptures? John 8, 31 through 32 say, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Spend time in the word of God. Turn in to the word of God this year. So how? How do you read the Bible? You tried. Most of you showed by your hands. You didn't make it through this year reading the scriptures every day. So we're going to put up some plans, some opportunities. Pick a method. We're going to go through 11 methods of reading the Bible in 2021. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will touch your heart when we look at something and you say, that's the one for me this year. And there's lots of them, so you can make a choice. Number one is like any other book from beginning to end. Read a chapter a day. That's how I started when I was 15. When I was 15, I just opened the Bible to Genesis chapter 1. I began to read God's word. The next day, chapter 2, chapter 3. And if you do a chapter a day, you won't have to worry about your Bible reading for 3.5 years. And that's okay, right? You stay in the Word of God a chapter a day, maybe 5 minutes a day, and you will have your Bible reading plan for 3.5 years. Second one is daily Bible reading calendars, daily devotions. There's some of those even out in your foyer. I think the Daily Bread or whatever, you can find those online. You can find them in bookstores. And that's a way to pick a method. Another one is a one-year Bible. How many of you have ever used the one-year Bible? Yeah, it takes all the Bible, divides it up into 365 days, some Old Testament every day, New Testament every day, Psalm, Proverbs, and every day you just pick that day and you read it, and you'll get through the whole Bible that way. And so you might want to try a one-year Bible. Another way is chronological. And if you want to do chronological, we offer a tool for you, a chronological Bible reading journal that has a schedule of how to read the Bible chronologically in it. And so that's available at our table. And maybe some of you have done that, but we encourage you to do that. Another method is a book at a time. Just pick your favorite book starting today and read it till it ends. And then pick the next book and the next book and the next book. And alter between Old and New Testament. And if you don't know all the books of the Bible, cheat. Go to the table of contents. Look down. And when God says, read Nahum, which you probably wouldn't have picked out, then read it. And then see what happens. And that's where you'll find your way through a book at a time. Read a book a month. If you want a slower pace, just pick 12 books this year. Read a book each month. And if it's a small book, then read it over and over and over that month until it just filters into your soul. Another way is just to read the New Testament or the Old Testament only this year. And we have this journal that helps you do that. It has a New Testament passage every day, an Old Testament passage every day, or both. So if you want to do just the New Testament, this will be a helpful tool. Just the Old Testament, this would be. Or if you want to read the whole Bible, Old and New, this would be the one that would help you through that. And then you see one that says, what? Let it fall open. I better go on to the next one. So this is the one where I hope I get in your head. And that is, before you lay your head on your pillow every night in 2021, I hope you remember me saying this, I forgot to read my Bible today. And if you don't do anything else, at least grab it, open it up, point, and read what it says. All right? Now, what could happen? There was a man that was in debt. Even his wife left him. He went and told his pastor about it. I don't think it was Pastor Dave. The pastor said, God's word is anointed. Just open and read it. So months went by. The pastor sees this guy get out of a brand new car, suit, dressed nice. Everything looked fine. He goes, wow, how you doing? He goes, great. What happened? He said, I did what you told me. What was that? I read the Bible. Really? What'd you do? He said, I opened it up. I pointed my finger. I said, chapter 11, so I filed bankruptcy. That is not quite what we're looking for. But through this year, if you don't read your Bible, at least before you go to bed, I hope you go remember, all that guy told me to point and read and watch out for what God might have in store for you. The other way is to read with commentaries. In other words, study the Bible. Johnny Cash is credited with saying the Bible sure does throw a lot of light on those commentaries. So we can study, we can read lots of Christian books, but how about spending time in the book? And then lastly, Ad Bible. Ad Bible is our audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. If you don't do that, if you can't get all that other stuff done, 10 minutes a day, you can listen. Put it in your ears, drive to work, walk the dog, do the dishes, mow the lawn, and you can get 10 minutes of Bible reading and commentary in Ad Bible. And so we're going through the Bible two by one, meaning two old, one new, two old, one new, two old, one new. And in 2021, we'll do 24 books of the Bible that way. If you start right now, we're in 1 Kings. We'll go through 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and we'll hit the Gospel of John by the end of the month and on through the rest of the year. And you can get that. There's cards. It's free. And I hope that you'll do something. Pick one of these methods this year to turn back into the Word of God. Point three, turn into the Bible again, and the truth will set us free in 2021. Point four is turn now. There's a story about Alexander the Great conquering the world. And maybe it's true. Maybe it's ritual. Maybe it's legend. But I guess when he conquered his enemies, he'd have them parade them before him, and he would say, off with his head, off with his head, off with his head. And one day they brought one of his own soldiers before him. What's he doing here? What's the charge? And the charge was cowardice in battle. Really? Coward? He's a coward? Young man, what's your name? My name is Alexander. Alexander the Great. Said, what? Your name is Alexander? And Alexander the Great said, either change your name or change your behavior. What's your name? Is it Christian? You call yourself a Christian? how do you do with our book, our Christian book? I shared earlier this year, a lot of Muslims read the whole Quran cover to cover. They memorize it. How do we do with our Christian book? Can we spend time in it? Either we change our name, or hopefully we'll change our behavior as Christians. So how? What do we do? One, commit. That's the opportunity this morning. Each year, Pastor Dave lets me come and share and challenge this church, this congregation, to commit to daily Bible reading. Commit to seek God in His Word every day. And if you miss a day, and I hope you won't, but some of you showed that you did, don't let Satan get in your head and say, see, I knew you couldn't do it. Why do you even take this on? No, you just keep going. You keep going. And you move through the scriptures this year. Make a serious commitment to read the Bible every day in 2021. I don't know, maybe I'll be back next year. And maybe I'll be able to say again, Happy New Year, and say, how many of you read the Bible every day in 2021? Maybe we'll see more hands. Harry Ironside was one of the most loved and most effective Bible teachers in the early 20th century. According to a close friend, Ironside devoted the first hour of every day to Bible study and prayer. On one occasion, he was lecturing at a seminary, and a student asked him, Dr. Ironside, I understand that you get up every morning to read and study your Bible. Oh, I've been doing that ever since I became a Christian. The young man said, well, how do you do it? Do you pray about it? And Ironside said, no, I get up. That's a commitment. Just get up and read your Bible. We do things every day. You do many things every day of your life. Every day. This should be a habit you don't even think about. You just do it every day. You get up. Secondly, be intentional. Select one of those methods. Hopefully the Holy Spirit touched your heart on one of those, and that's the one you're going to do. And hopefully you'll start today. Henrietta Mears wrote a book entitled What the Bible is All About. She said this, you must give to the Bible attention with intention. And it is intention that will necessitate attention. Perhaps there's so little attention in Bible reading today because there's so little intention. Did you get all that? Later, she said, it is impossible from pulpit ministry to get that knowledge of the Word which is possible and indeed needful. This isn't enough. Make your Bible reading intentional this year. Pick a method and stay with it. And then thirdly, journal. That's a weird one, right? Why would I suggest journaling? Because many of you have struggles with Bible reading. A lot of Christians do. So do something different in 2021. Try journaling. It's a different discipline of your Bible reading. And I know, because I do it, I wouldn't ask you to do anything I don't do. I've journaled my own Bible reading for over 35 years every day. It changes the way you read the scriptures. If you know you're going to write something down after you read, you'll pay more attention to what you're reading. You'll say, what is God saying to me? What's the most important verse? What do I get out of this? And you'll jot it down. So I encourage you to try something new this year. Try journaling your way through the scriptures. Here's a testimony. I presented the Ezra Project, and 7 years later, after a men's retreat, I saw this guy, 7 years, and here's what he had to say. He said, through the experience of journaling, my mind was freed, my faith renewed, and my walk matured. My prayers no longer were weak and insipid, but made forceful by the application of the Word itself. I learned to depend on the Holy Spirit to avail me to its power. I shared with other men and women the experience of putting down on paper my thoughts, prayers, scriptures, and the holy utterances of the Lord. My accountability group and I have been spreading the word about journaling and the blessing it's been in our lives. We have taken your lessons to heart and generously applied them to our respective worlds. They have made a difference in our marriages, our jobs, and our service to God. Is it worth trying that? Something that could make a difference in your marriage, in your work, in your service to the Lord? Try journaling in 2021. So let's close with the passage we began with. 2 Timothy 3:16-4:4. All scripture is breathed out by God. Yes, it is inspired. And is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Turn away, turn back, turn in, and turn now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the beginning of another new year. It's a change of a page on a calendar. And to you, you said yesterday, today, and forever, you are the same. We have no idea what's coming in 2021, but we pray that we will be faithful and that we will spend time with you each and every day this year in your word. And we know that if we do that, you will spend time with us each and every day in your word. And we want that. So help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, be our teacher as we commit to read the scriptures, that you will teach us the truth of your word. You'll make it shine like never before, and it will be applicable to our daily lives as we face whatever you bring our way in 2021. We thank you that you breathed the word of God and that we can hold it in our hands. Might we read it with you this year. In the name of Jesus.
Hey, we want to thank you for joining us online. We're excited that you found us here at Calvary Castle Rock. The scriptures tell us in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so if you have done that, if you have made the decision, you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, that you have confessed with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, we want to say congratulations. This is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. We would also love to hear from you if you've made this decision and answer any questions that you might have about what it looks like to follow Jesus. How do I find a church that believes and teaches the Bible? The importance of discipleship now that you've made this decision. We would also love to send you your first Bible as a free gift from us at Calvary Castle Rock to celebrate your decision to follow the Lord Jesus. So all you have to do is go to calvarycastlerock.com, click on the link Know God, and then fill out the form so we can get a little bit of information from you so that we can send you your free gift. Again, congratulations. We would love to hear your story. We would love to connect with you, and we would love to pray with you. Lord bless.